Well, thank you, all of you that prayed for your pastor in the last couple of days. So not everybody got the notice, I'm sure. We didn't try. If you get one, you know it's not a selective thing. It's just kind of we don't put everything out sometimes because we don't have the time or whatever. But it was real. I said something to Rex. He called me. I said it was cool. You just need to see some things. Neat, but not neat. I mean, just, you know, how the enemy works. Somebody said, what happened? Oh, right after that powerful, powerful lesson on faith. Somebody, what was it? The swine flu? No, it was more like the boar hog flu or something like that. H1N1? No, it was like H5N5. So, I'm here tonight. And it was probably of the intensity that would take a lot of people, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks. But hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And all the glory to Him. Hallelujah. And that took place in just 2 days' time. Hallelujah. I do appreciate all of you praying for me all the time, as much as you think of it. And I hope you're listening right now. I pray for you as often as He brings you up, and I pray that wisdom also incites you to pray for me. The older I get in the Lord, the more I realize how truly independent we are in Him, and also how much we need each other, how much we really need each other. And you guys, when I make statements like I made a few minutes ago, it's not a lightness in a jest of the flesh, but it's a dependency upon the Holy Spirit. And I'm tough, but I know in and of myself I'd find an end, except through the grace that lives in me has no end. Hallelujah. And so you guys have been with me, that have been with me for years, have seen a lot of different things. One year there was almost had a running tab with the ambulance service. And just a few months time I had a motorcycle wreck, a gallbladder attack that they never had to take out, 365 pounds ripped my chest and shoulder completely open, or tore it completely apart, and none of it has ever stopped me, but none of that is a boast in and of myself. There would be an end in myself except for the grace of God. And my strength is not of myself, but is of Him. And so I ask you to continue to pray for me, even over the next few days, that the mop-up on all this is already done in the Spirit, but we just continue to stand in faith. And I appreciate your... And for the spiritual aspects of it, where we're all going together. Hallelujah. So I praise God for you. And I praise God for everything that He's doing in both of us. Hallelujah. And on that, there will be a Friday night prayer. I tell you what, some of you ladies are proven to me that there is no male or female in the Spirit. You're just as tough as you possibly can be in the Spirit. And when we receive revival, as much of the credit is going to go to you hard and fast women of faith that don't know when to quit, and I appreciate that. Candy and I will be at a certain wedding practice. I don't know who that's for. Please pray for us. It's fun, but it's also a year's worth of work that's culminating in one day. not, I didn't do the work. She did the work. And it's a big day, and it's supposed to be. And if you bring those prayer requests to us for your family, I'll do the same thing for you. I'll stand up here and request your family prayed over for any kind of occasions. A lot of times we ask you to pray for us when we go off. We're nobody special in and of ourselves. If you come up here and say, we're going off, would you pray for us? We'll call the church up and pray for you. Hallelujah. There's no pecking order around here, and there's no fanfare, and there's no inner circles. In Jesus' name, we're just one family. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. So many different ways to go, but read this verse, these verses. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. Paul said, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah to God. In case you didn't know, this is one of the finest minds of antiquity. This man probably had an IQ that was of a brilliant level, and some scholars feel that his writings on the Book of Romans were some of the most perfect analyzing of the Old Testament law and bringing it into grace effect of the New Testament. I mean, the mind that this man had was incredible, the Apostle Paul. And yet, this is his reasoning to the church. And we got to understand that the same thing stands true in 2009 and going into 2010. The world is real short on the anointing. And sad to say, the church is just as short on the anointing. It's real easy. It's real easy to tell people and speak out of what you know than out of what you hear. What you're hearing the Father say. It's real easy to have those intellectual discourses. It's real easy to even take previous knowledge and try to drill people with it or have some kind of open discussion. And this man said, I determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and trembling, meaning he stripped all of his intellectual knowledge off and said, you know what? All of my ability to try to articulate anything out of the intellect is not going to help you. It's got to be pure Holy Ghost anointing, or it's not going to affect you at all. And my speech, now how can speech? I mean, words are, you would think words are just words. He said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration." And when he says in the demonstration, the previous words were my speech. So he's saying here that my speech in and of itself had a demonstration of the power of God. See, that's what I want more than anything else. Anybody and everybody can talk out of... I mean, I've done it before too. Just rattled on and rattled on. But my friend, when I walk into a situation, when you walk into a situation, when your family's standing there, and you begin to wait on the Holy Ghost, and what you say comes out of a well that the Holy Ghost can add Himself to, it can change lives in a moment's time. And he was always, always hearing from the Father. Always. He waited. I don't know. I know he walked in such a perfect mind that everything he said was living out of his fellowship with the Father. But I don't know how much of himself. I know he lived as a human being just like you and I, and he had that pretense that he had to continually... We've got a pretense that we have to continually get past. Because the first thing you want to do is, unless you're any different than me, is you want to respond out of previous knowledge. But if you'll wait... See, I'm not so sure. People don't even know. The Bible doesn't say. I don't know when they were standing around him and the prostitute was there and they're about to stone her. Well, she wasn't. They didn't say a prostitute. They said, "We've caught her in the very act of adultery." Now, they didn't bring the man, and I don't know why. A bunch of hypocrites. Should have had him there. But they had her there. And the Bible said he just bent over and he began to write in the sand with his finger. It doesn't say. Some say, well, he was writing the law down. Oh, that's real, you know, and it, maybe he was. Maybe he was writing the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. That would have been a good thing for those Pharisees. Because he said afterwards, those of you that have no sin among you, let him be the one to cast the first stone. And they, beginning from the oldest to the youngest, convicted in their heart, turned and walked out. I don't know. I seem to think at times that he had to live the same kind of spirit-filled life that I have to live. And when he bent over in the sand, he was... whatever he was doing, whether it was writing the Ten Commandments or doodling with his fingers in the sand, he may have been waiting on the Father. Where do we go from here, Lord? What do I say next? Do I jump up with some intellectual discourse and try to dispel this crowd, or do I wait on the power that Paul said has a demonstration of the Holy Spirit? And that's what I want in my life. And it only comes one way. It comes by getting to know Him. Hallelujah. You can't get to know Him at the moment. That has to come out of being in that place. Hallelujah. I try to practice this almost on a daily basis. These are... And you don't have to do this. I'm just telling you what I do. These are some things off of Gary Carpenter's website. It's Agreeing with the Mind of Christ. It's for months and months, maybe a year now, I've been doing this. And it's all of concerning my communion with the Holy Spirit. And I say it almost every day, 4 or 5 times a week. It only takes me about 5 minutes to read these 2 pages or to confess them. I like 2 paragraphs. I like it all, but 2 of them say, the first one, I do nothing of myself. This is in the section agreeing with the mind of Christ, agreeing with Jesus of Nazareth. This is as his mind was. These confessions are intended to bring my mind into conformity with his mind in two stages. One, as his mind was when he ministered on the earth in flesh. And number two, as his mind is now that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And I say this, I do nothing of myself. I'm under no obligation, nor under any compulsion to do anything except what I receive from the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit each day. I understand that I am on the earth to do the will of the Father in the name of Jesus. I also understand that I am not on the earth to do my own will, cloaked and veiled in the name of Jesus. There's a vast difference. Hallelujah. It's so easy to do that. And I'll guarantee you there's a lot of ministries built on that. I am free from all programs that can be devised by the carnal mind. I am not under obligation to do work in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. He has not called me to be a minister to the people myself. He has called me to be a vessel through whom he can minister to the people himself. Hallelujah. You see, it's real easy. You just got to die. There ain't nothing easy about that. No, the understanding, the doing it's the hard, the understanding, what do I got to do to be a power-packed minister? Just lose yourself. All preconceived ideas of what it takes to be what you think is a just lose yourself. See, there's really not a whole lot of pressure on me when I come over here because I just throw it all to the wind. Hallelujah. Praise God. He has called me to be a vessel through whom he can minister to the people himself. I am a vessel through whom the Father works by the life of Christ within me, by the power of the Holy Spirit upon me. My Father fills my vessel with himself in order that he may extend his hand to touch the people by the Holy Spirit, who is the hand of the Father outstretched. I am free to serve Christ alone every day. Hallelujah. I might as well read the next verse. Our next stanza, paragraph. I'm under no obligation nor under any compulsion to venture forth into ministry until I have received the will, the plan, the mind, and the counsel of Jesus Christ in completeness by the Holy Spirit. I am not a worker for my Father. I am a vessel through whom my Father can work by the power of his own Spirit. There's a vast difference between those two mindsets. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. See, as long as I go through life thinking I'm a worker, I'm just a hired hand then. No, I'm a son. And all he wants me to do is just wait on him. He'll fill me up. And then if I follow him as my Father, everything works out. But if I go forth in the name of Jesus, cloaked and veiled in cloaking and veiling my own will, he's under no obligation to come and bless that. So why don't you turn to Ephesians for a few minutes, just a few minutes. So we've been hanging out there, just kind of hanging out, you know. If in your life, if you don't study the Bible is a part and partisan to meditation, but the best way is just to hang out in a place. Just hang out and you can read it straight through on a daily basis, or you get 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. Don't go to some place unfamiliar if you've got 10 minutes. Go back to a familiar spot and hang out there. You know, I mean, there's no law in this. You can. I mean, it's anytime you go to the Word of God, you make the Holy Spirit real happy. I'm just telling you how to improve your understanding of books, because after a while, almost every time you open it, even if it's for 10 minutes, you get something else. Hallelujah. So we've been looking at chapter 4 a lot, And part of that is just hanging out with the Lord, really, and getting to know Him. In verses 19 through, well, we'll just start there and going down. 4:19 says, "Who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness, but you've not so learned Christ, if you've heard Him and been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man." Well, just note there that he mentioned something about conversation, because that's where we'll go in just a few minutes, "which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." That's amazing. Well, let's skip over to chapter 5 for a moment, since we're just going to meander a little bit tonight. In verse 9, he says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and in truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith," he's quoting out of previous Old Testament scripture, but then he puts a prophetic spin on it, because the Old Testament probably doesn't have Christ in there, but he's seeing it in the light of Christ. "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming," which the Greek word is to buy back, "the time." That's the era in which you live, because the days are evil. Hallelujah. There is given unto us, it has been passed to us by the Holy Spirit to redeem this day and hour that we live in. And we have been given a full plate, seeing that in the natural, our commander-in-chief, which I pray for almost on a daily basis, has so chosen to redefine the value systems of America. But with or without the help of our civil government, by the grace of God, we will have an outpouring. It would be easier if people would stand up and bring forth and help bring forth righteousness. But I know, according to the Word of God and according to the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is a rhema and the logos, that His coming will be for a bride that is chaste and pure and full of life and light. And that is only through a refiner's fire, and it's a revival, and nothing, no matter how bad it gets, is going to stop that. Hallelujah. If it wants to add to it, it's just going to add to it. Hallelujah. In fact, it's kind of, I don't know about you, but after a while, it just starts making you mad. I mean, in a right way. When they start telling you it's no longer politically correct to say Merry Christmas, it's when used to before I prayed in tongues so much, if somebody told me don't, that helped me to really do what they told me not to do. And my mama said that I was the stubbornest child that had ever been. She beat me day and night. But them telling me, don't say Merry Christmas makes me want to just go down the street and just Merry Christmas everybody that I can possibly see. I mean, just, I want to Merry, Merry Christmas, 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 Christmas. And I know that attitude eventually might get you in trouble, but, you know, we're headed towards revival. And I'll grow in grace and grow in wisdom. I'll try not to get y'all in trouble with me. I'll let y'all select your own battles. Praise God. But I will, before they come and get me, I will ordain all of you that ever wanted to be ordained. Hallelujah. Some of you are up for ordination, but just hadn't got around to it yet. But I'll make sure before they come and get me that... So they say, well, who's the preacher here? I'll say, all of us. I'm just the one up today. Hallelujah. Redeeming the times because the days are... Well, we know the days are evil. But whatever makes manifest is light. So it's the light. And Paul's saying this to the Ephesians. He's saying, awake thou that sleepest. See, one of the things that Gary got when he saw that vision or had that dream, the Lord said the key to understanding why the church is not in revival yet is Ephesians 5:14. And you see, I know that we're a lot further along as far as being awake. And I'm not trying to... One thing I don't like doing is comparing us to anybody. I don't think that's fair to anybody, and it's not fair to us, and it's not the right thing to do. I'm thankful. I'm just thankful for however awake we are. But the more awake we get, the more I realize what a slumber... I will not speak for you, I'll speak for myself, what a slumber our flesh has had us in. But the more you wake up, the more you're spiritually prone to wake up more and more and more. What are you talking about? I'm saying whatever the flesh buried us under ever since we've been born again, to believe that all the attributes of Christ in us, the hope of glory, to step out and perform the fullness of Christ in us, the miracles, the mighty works of God, the laying hands on the sick and seeing them all recover, to be a walking revival in and of ourselves. And when we all come together collectively to receive it, we're going to wake up. We are awakening now. And there's something inside of me that says we're getting closer and closer and closer to all those kinds of things. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We were having a good conversation this afternoon, and when I went back into Ephesians, I saw even more of some of the things that Candy and I and Loretta were talking about. One of the things I saw, and we'll be kind of short tonight, but one of the ways that you know when you're not awake and when you are asleep, there's no way to catch it. There's no way to understand that the prophecy that came to us through another sister church that said the fast will go faster and the slow will go slower. And I'll qualify that statement for just a moment, because as I said a moment ago, there's no inner circle here where certain people are considered, this is the fast lane, that's the slow lane. This, the beautiful part about walking into Him, it's all on your own volition, whatever you desire. If you choose to come here and then take the next part of it and you do it, it automatically, no matter what your problems were or no matter what you could have been bipolar. My pastor, he's so free that he believes everybody's supposed to be free. And he's not mean. He's just mean to the devil. Some people, you know, if a person sitting in your congregation is bipolar, or has been diagnosed that, and they believe that, and they, God bless them if they believe that lie, because it's just the devil. That's all it is. And Pastor Dave says bipolar is two polar bears saying goodbye to each other. And but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I mean, if a person came to me and I wouldn't down them. I'm just telling them, if you get on this path, you will awake from whatever's had your whole life under a deep slumber. And it is at the end of it, day by day by day. Now, I had a person that's very precious to me and is working for me now that tried to prove what I was saying was wrong, and put herself in a... Oh, I'm giving it away now. Well, I only have one employee. Put herself into hours of torment on a daily basis to prove to me that at the end of a certain amount of time she'd be just as miserable as she was when she started. And I can guarantee you one thing, she has evolved into a beautiful flower. Hallelujah. You don't even have to try to make it work. You just do it. But if you don't do it and you have an appreciation for it, you can have I go to that church. And I bet you that stuff does work. And oh, my pastor, you can praise it in your mind all you want to and not do it. And even though you rub shoulders with it, I mean, me and you may fish every day together and see each other every day at the office. But if you don't do it, see, I'm thankful. I'm not, I don't push it on her, but I am so grateful. I don't say, Candy, you're the pastor's wife, so you better buck up and you better do what I'm doing. You better fast. You better pray. She's her own person. I do not do that. I'm so thankful that she does it. But do you know, her being my wife, if she didn't do it, if she just said, well, you're my husband, you'll do all the praying for the... If she chose not to get on this walk and chose the slow lane, sat here every Sunday, led worship, just didn't do it, do you know the devil could come and begin to take over her mind? Me eating supper with her, laying in the same bed, getting up every morning, brushing my teeth beside her. It wouldn't matter if she chose. It doesn't. God is no respecter of persons, as neither is the devil. I can't pray for you. I can't infuse you with my love walk, with my peace. You can only get it one way, and that's yourself. That's yourself. So the fast will go faster and the slow will go slower. Those who have an appreciation for it will get, after a while, hearing it and not doing it, will put a callus over them, and they'll get slower and slower and slower and slower. And but we can pray for them. Glory be to God. We can pray for them. But I saw one of the things that was... just a few minutes. One of the things that identified, especially after we come out of one of our God-given conversations, I believe. Chapter 2, look at verse 1. There's no good place to start here because it's all good. Because I'd love to read chapter 1 and then go into chapter 2 because it's all one thought. But when you're asleep... And this condemns no one. I have no place to condemn anyone. I have no place to judge anyone except to speak of fruit and to speak of the things of the Word of God. I'm in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1 now. But one of the... one of the things that changes when you begin to wake up is one of the things that identifies when you're asleep. Looking for a good place. Well, I'll just start at chapter 2, verse 1. And he says, you, that's us. Italicized means it wasn't there in the Greek, but the King James interjected it for your understanding. And it doesn't really take it out of context to say this. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power. Now, try to really grasp this. Before you were born again, in the time past, you walked, meaning you had your being, according to the course of this world. In other words, there's a set up order of this, not the earth, but of the world system. And it was according to, this is how he names him, prince of the power of the air. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that dwell therein, but the airwaves and the atmosphere above the earth is integrated by a system to where that he says the spirit, singular, and we know that Satan is not omnipresent like the Holy Spirit, but when he says the spirit, singular, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, he's talking about this system of thought from the prince of the power of the air rules in the children of disobedience. It rules. There is a very systematic order of events that is so set up that people don't even, that are in the world system and are not born again, and now we're even taking a step further, awake thou that sleepest, because even after you're born again, if you don't continue to, if you don't get on a track that the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher, you can go back to sleep. You can go to heaven, but you'll be in a dream world the rest of your life. I've been in dreams. I don't know. It's an amazing how your mind works, even in dreams. I've been in real scary dreams before and said, I know this is a dream. Have you ever done that? And I'd say, you know, if I can do something, I'd look for a cliff or a car to step in front of, cliff to jump off, because I know that I would say if I did something shocking, I'd come out of it. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird. Maybe you need to pray for your pastor. But I'm smart enough to know sometimes when I'm in a dream, my brain will tell me you're in a dream, and I'd think of a way to get out of the dream. People are asleep in the church, and they don't even know it. And he says it's a system, and it works by the prince of the power of the air, and it's in the children of disobedience. But then in chapter 5 or in 4, he's telling us to wake up or to stay awake. But let's look at the order by which this would even be qualified by those that are in the world. He says that are in the children, worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we, that's us that have been born again, had our conversation. Isn't that amazing? What worked brought forth a conversation in times past in the lust. Now, where did the conversation go? The lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Isn't this amazing? That when we were asleep, the thing that qualified us as being asleep, and the thing that qualified us as being part of that matrix that was under the world system and we didn't even realize it, is that when we spoke and had our conversation, I looked up this Greek word, it means spending time. It means you just spend all your time. part of that whole word means you spend your conversation and your time all about me and what I want. Isn't that amazing? See, one of the things that will qualify us, and I'm happy about this, I know we haven't arrived, but even when I'm with Gary and we're deer hunting, or Ralph and we're talking about hunting, or you know, lifting weights with Paul, or high-fiving with Matt at a Gator game, eventually and always, even if it's those points in life, and none of that is wrong and all of that is perfect at the time being, our life and our being always comes back to a major conversation, is that where this goes into the next chapter is that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And our conversation usually always circumvents back into a place of spiritual things. And it's more than just our present life. It's all about going somewhere to make something happen with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I believe we're waking up. I believe we're realizing that this life is not about ourselves, but it's about Jesus Christ. We're going someplace. We've got to receive an outpouring. Hallelujah. And the works that are supposed to be fulfilled in us is because it's not, as he said here, when we were this way, our conversation in times past. And listen, this thing about conversation to him was real important. When he, over in chapter 4, he mentions it again. And he says in verse 22, that you put off, I'm reminding you, here he's reminding us, put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Time spent, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, I know a lot of times we put that in the, you know, in a certain connotation, the word lust. But it's far more than that. He's talking about the consumption for yourself. The consumption for yourself. And he said one of the ways that you qualify yourself as having come out of this is that you find out you don't have anybody going along scribing your words. But I'll tell you this, if the Holy Spirit helps you and you realize when your conversation begins to be the bulk of it in a week or in a day or in a year, your conversation about wanting more of Him and getting closer to Him so He can pour out His Spirit through you to touch the nations. Hallelujah. Conversation. Glory be to God. Now, see, let's say I was a billionaire and Matt graduates the University of Florida, and he comes out, and I hire him at a young man. I see, okay, he's a real bright guy. And I say, Matt, I've got a conglomerate worth billions of dollars. What I like to do is I like to start businesses in all parts of the world. Now, what I'm going to offer you is I want you to go to, a Mediterranean nation. I'm going to ship you and your family to some Mediterranean nation. I want you to purchase me all the vineyards you can purchase me and olive orchards, and because we're really big into that part. And I'm just going to give you a 10-year stay there. I'm going to ship your family over there. Expenses paid, housing allowances, a nice salary. You can requisition the front office anytime you want to for any amount of the money that you want to. Just send us a notice. And after 10 years, I'm not even going to expect anything you know, I'm not even going to inspect. Just after 10 years, I'm going to come over and move you back. Now, Matt, the front end of this is good. You're going to make a good salary, but I'm going to tell you, the retirement on this is fat. It's out of this world. It's out of this world. So all that you need for me to come over there and get my inheritance and inherit from you is it's available, just requisition the office at any time. So in 10 years, I walk by, Matt's put in for another $10 million, another $15 million. Well, that's a chunk of change, but the boy's got to be making me, he's got to be setting up a kingdom for me. So 10 years is up, and I go over, I say, okay, we're flying over. I get my attorneys, because we're going to sell this, back out of it, and pull Matt home. And he's going to receive his retirement off this. Short stay. Bible says life's but a vapor, doesn't it? The first thing that gives me a clue that when I pull up to Matt's estate is that it looks like the Taj Mahal. Now, when I pull up, I'm thinking, based on what I was paying him for housing allowance, how did he do this? The second thing is, the his and her matching of everything in the parking lot, and all of his kids with new German-made Mercedes. You know, all the way around the Circle Drive, I'm thinking, well, how did it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because the man's been making me. He's been making me money. So I'm here, Matt. Show me what I've got. He drives me down the road, and we get out, and I've got some 5-acre burnover vineyard that I paid $100 million for. Now, I know a few things. I know, one, Matt didn't do his job, and I know he's not going to get his inheritance. I'm going to bring him home, but he's not getting his inheritance. But you know what I know? I know for 10 years, his conversation while he was in Spain or Italy or where his conversation on a daily basis didn't lead him to my 5-acre tract and his kingdom that he set up. His conversation had to be about Matt when it boiled right down to it. Is that right? Now, isn't this amazing what Paul said, that your conversation goes past, you're pulled out of that conversation of the world on the consumption of yourself, and it comes to a place where it's all about Him. Hallelujah. That's some pretty good stuff. We were talking about that today, weren't we? In a good sense. In a good sense. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says He's raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and the kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works. Aren't you glad? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. See, Dave always says it like this: good works didn't create you. You're born of your Father. You're created unto good works. In other words, you don't have to go around trying to be something. You just really get on the path and be who you are, and it comes out. There's been days that I realized at the end of the day that I fulfilled, Jesus said, if you visit me in prison, you visited, or if you visit those in jail, you visited me. He said, if you visit those on their sickbed, you visited me. there have been days where I realized at the end of the day, I visited a man in a hospital and also went to a county jail and prayed for a guy and visited him and tried to uplift him and where he was at. But those works didn't save me. Neither did I contemplate, I need to go out and knock on doors, or I need to go do this, or I need to go do that. Nor do I contemplate my conversation on a daily basis like, how long have I been talking about the Gators? Can I talk now, or should I talk, should I give more time to God? No, I don't monitor any of that. But I am waking up the more time I spend with Christ. And innately, without my cognizant a thought process of should I put a time limit on this and put it just because of my spending time with Him, at the end of the day, at the end of the year, at the end of the week, the fullness of my life will speak of Christ, not about the consumption of what I need. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Been a great crowd. Hallelujah. We receive this offering tonight with faith and miracles. Let me just pray. Abba, I love you. I thank you for everyone that's here. I thank you for the graciousness of their love towards you. Father, I thank you because of the whole entire body of Christ. Everyone that loves you, I thank you for them. I ask you to speak to our hearts tonight. Anyone that can help out in this and that you will use to meet these needs, I thank you. And I thank you, Father, for all of these. I receive by faith these things that we have need of, Father. I bless it and receive it in the graciousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thank you. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. If you bring those up. Hallelujah. Have you had a good time? Amen. Praise God. If you'll get ready to bring this, and when you do, as far as I know, that will be it. Hallelujah. I love you. Candy and I love you. We appreciate you. And we will see you on Sunday, unless he comes back. Hallelujah. And if he comes back, see you sooner. Look me up. Hallelujah.